Hello, everyone. Hello, no BS. Would you let me know if you can hear me, please? Last time I started one of these things up, I forgot to have the mic on in the right place. Yes, thank you. Awesome. How is everyone tonight? I am going to, as people come in, thank you, Janet. Thank you for letting me know. I'm gonna teach just a little bit. Just a little bit. A concept that I came up with. Sometimes things just fall out of my mouth when I'm in a coaching session. And one did this week, and I thought it was so good. I even asked the client, I said, "Do you mind if I talk about this a little bit on the call on Tuesday?" And she's like, "No." So, I talk a lot about safety, and I talk a lot about the feeling of safety and how important it is for our nervous systems to know that we are safe and that we feel safe. Because when we feel safe inside of our body, when we're not like super agitated or nervous or angry, when we're feeling that calm, controlled, settled, kind of safe, cognitive thinking, this conscious brain can do its magic, right? So this client and I were talking about sort of about this concept about safety around making mistakes and being imperfect. And I told her, I said, "What do you think about acceptable imperfections? Acceptable imperfections. Those would be those things that you allow yourself to be imperfect at. For instance, my husband is a yoga teacher. Yoga is a practice at being imperfect. You're never going to get a pose 100% right. You're never going to be able to do a sequence 100% beautifully. There's always a next level you can take it. So it is a practice in practicing imperfection. And if we can get used to being imperfect and actually feel safe around our mistakes or our imperfections, amazing things can happen. You can learn. It will teach you something. You don't avoid an assessment. You come away with something to watch for or knowing something that doesn't work for you. It takes away the need for the beatdown, right? You're not beating yourself up because it is an acceptable imperfection. It's pretty fascinating to think about it that way, right? So I bet if I were to poll the people here on this call, everyone's list of acceptable imperfections would be different. Some of you might have nothing on the list because the expectation is to be perfect. But Corinne teaches us in No BS that consistency is much, much more important than perfectionism. Because if you are consistent, you are noticing the acceptable imperfections, my term, not hers. And you're learning from them and you're getting back up and you're being that resilient person that is elastic and can figure out what the next step is. So let that sit for a minute. I thought that was really interesting. I have a couple more things to say, but while I'm talking about them, if you want to get coached tonight, please raise your hand. Okay? Please raise your hand so that we can talk. There was an Ask Coaches today that I answered. It is a little bit lengthy, but that's okay. I'm not going to go into all of it. But at the very end, I asked her, we were talking about, she was talking about work. And she was talking about how, or she was talking about weight loss, about how she's not 100% committed to being weight, losing weight because she's always half checked in, lost motivation, and it's not working out perfectly and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I asked her, I said, when it comes to work, when you look at those challenges, what kept you committed even through potential failure? And how can that apply to weight loss? And here's what she said. She came out with this thought that said, If what I was doing wasn't working, I would reevaluate, discuss with the team, and then change course to find a solution. That's how she managed work. And I was like, that's it. That's it for weight loss. If what you're doing isn't working, you reevaluate, discuss with the team, coaches, accountability groups, Corinne, and then change course to find a solution. She feels safe to do that at work. All she needs to do is pull in that safety around weight loss. Isn't that fascinating? I told her, I said, this is gold. It came right out of your own head. So I'm going to say it one more time for those in the back. She said, this is about work and we're figuring out how to apply it to weight loss. If what I was doing wasn't working, I would reevaluate, discuss it with the team, then change course to find a solution. Right? Two thumbs up. Two thumbs up in my book. So let me get this out of my way. Get these out of my way. Oh, I see somebody actually gave a thumbs up and some hearts. Awesome. I thought that was so good. Safety. Safety around making mistakes, experiencing mistakes will actually promote your weight loss, help you live a bigger, broader life. Okay, I got one hand, so let's do it. This is Anne. I'm going to call you up. We've got room for a couple more. So if anybody wants to be coached tonight, and Anne just declined. Did you really? You don't want to raise your hand? Oh, no, she went away. Oh, no, she's back. Let's try. No, she went away. Let's try one more time. I also talked to somebody in Facebook. You know who you are. Oh, Anne is joining. She must hit the wrong button. About coming on the call tonight. If you would like to come on the call, you go ahead and raise your hand too. Hello, Anne. Okay, you need to unmute. You were unmuted and you just muted yourself. Can you unmute and turn your camera on?
Unmute. There we go.
There you are. Hello.
Hi. Last week in MJ's call, I had put on there, my question was that I don't know how to feel my feelings. And I like to do a discovery worksheet. I'll fill in what I ate and when I ate it, but how was I feeling? What would I feel after that? I leave blank.
Okay.
Because I don't know, my feeling was I wanted it.
Okay. Sometimes the feeling of I wanted it, we can classify as desire.
Okay.
Okay. That's really what I want it means. It's desire, right?
Okay.
But what other feelings can you not feel? Do you not know how to feel?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with taking antidepressants that I don't want to be taking. But if I don't take it, I just cry and cry and cry. So I continue to take it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you know what happy feels like?
I guess I do because like when I'm with my nieces and nephews, I'm happy, but
All
to
right,
just
put yourself in
accept
that
that
place
I'm
for a minute.
happy. Uh-huh.
Put yourself in that place with your nieces and nephews for a minute. Okay.
Okay.
What's happening in your body? Are you smiling?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of tension or are you kind of loose in your body? Kind of loose and easy.
I usually am pretty tense, like because other people are around. Am I going to say the right thing? Am I not going to do the right thing? Am I safety, like you were just talking about? And am I going to be the perfect nanny to them? Am I going to say the right thing or do the right things for them?
So when you're questioning whether or not you're going to say the right things or do the right things for them, what do you think is the emotion associated with those questions?
Mm-hmm. fear, I guess.
Okay. All right. And when you are asking yourself those questions and you think there's fear associated, you said there's a lot of tension in your body, right? Tell me where the tension is in your body.
Usually, like in my chest, in my throat area,
Okay. Your
my heart, I
shoulders?
guess.
How do
Oh
your
yeah, my
shoulders?
shoulders are always. My
Maybe.
shoulders are always in my ears.
Girl, relax as often as you can think. You got to relax those
Yeah,
shoulders, right?
even
Relax those.
every time, even when I work out, I'm constantly being told, put your shoulders down. But I'll wake up at night, and my shoulders are way up in my ears, and
About your jaw? Do you tense your jaw?
I do clench my jaw.
Yeah. So what we're describing here is you have some thoughts that create this emotion of fear. Emotion is the name of the emotion. And then the feeling in your body goes with the emotion. Okay, so all this tension that you have goes with the fear. That's how you feel an emotion or feel a feeling, if you will. I like to separate them. I like to call them two different things. Okay. When we feel fear, a lot of times we are bracing ourselves, right? If you think about driving down the road, you're riding in a car with somebody and they stop short, what do? You put your arms out in front, or you hit that imaginary brake on your side or something like that. You're bracing
I
yourself.
try to be the driver at all times. A
Well, well,
little bit of a control thing there.
even if you feel like someone's getting ready to hit you're bracing yourself in the car, right? Well, the talk that you have, the self-talk that you have, the questioning that you have about whether or not you're being a good nanny is creating that same sort of bracing for you. You see that in your body associated with the fear that you're not being a good enough nanny. So you're the antidepressant. So people like me who are big deep feelers have a very wide spectrum of feelings. You can say something, I can't even give you an example right now. If we start talking about my dad, I would probably start crying. Okay? Because that's just what I do. I just emote. When you take antidepressants, that might be muted just a little bit. But the feelings themselves are still in your body. The tension is still in your body. The loose or the ease is still in your body. The queasy stomach is still there, right?
Yeah, but you can't just let it out. I mean, I have my niece just left 2 weeks ago. She moved 14 hours away for her residency. She's been in my life for 28 years. The night before she left, I gave her a hug and I cried a little bit. My brother was like, "Oh, geez, here we go." I'm like, "Don't I deserve to have a little bit of feelings because my heart is leaving and moving 14 hours away?" And I come to
What
find
do you
out
think
after he
Kathy's
talked
answer
her
to that
off
would
the
be?
deep end.
What do you think my answer to that would be? Yeah, you're allowed to feel.
Yeah, but the, and then she even told my husband, "Oh, Joe, this is what you're gonna have to handle. Deal with this." I'm like, I guess I've been pushed to just push my emotions aside because somebody else is gonna feel uncomfortable about it.
That's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what's happened. All y'all in the chat, anybody else push their emotions aside because somebody's made fun of you or somebody's told you, just give a thumbs up or a heart or something to show Anne that she's not, on her own. Yeah. I was told as a kid, children should be seen and not heard. So there were no, there was no big emotions in my house. If I had big emotions, it was upstairs in my bedroom all by myself. Yeah, Jen was told that too. It could have just been the norms in which we grew up, right? There was not as much emotion. But if you look at the TV today, man, there's people expressing themselves right and left all over the place. Okay. Mary says she was trained not to cry. Yeah, absolutely. So, what I'm here to tell you is that the more you can create safety around your emotions, the less tension you will feel in your body. Okay? Now, how do you create safety around feeling emotions? What do you think? First is, whoever it is that tells you, oh, here she goes again, just let them have their, let them say what they want and do whatever you want. Separate yourself from that. Okay? That's so important. You're right. He's not comfortable with emotion. If
And
you
the funny thing is, he drove her there and dropped her off. And when I talked to him afterwards, I'm like, so were there tears? Yeah. I'm like, so you were allowed to cry, but I wasn't. I guess because that's your daughter and it's my niece, but
Or because he didn't want to cry and ended up crying anyway. That's probably more it. It wasn't about you, it was about him. But the more you can allow yourself to name an emotion and to feel it in your body, the less likely you are to eat so that you don't feel. So how many people on this call have said, I don't want to cry, so they grab a cookie or a piece of, your hand's raised, my hand's raised, right? How many times have we done that? When honestly, feeling is part of our human experience. We are given the gift to feel, right? Do you have a cat by any chance?
No, I did. I have
You
a
did.
dog. It
You're right. So what does a cat do all day long? It eats, it poops, it
sleep.
meows, and it sleeps. That's it. If that's all you want to do, continue suppressing emotion. Cat doesn't know how to love. It knows how to seek warmth, right? It knows how to nudge you to get your attention.
Oh, dogs do too.
Dogs do too, right? Right. Dogs, I don't know. I think dogs may have a little bit more emotion than cats do. My cat was, she was just like, where's my warm place and where's my food? That's all she wanted.
Yeah, I had a mean one.
You had a mean one.
Yeah.
We haven't, we have this wide range of emotions we are gifted to feel. Everything from love and affection to anger to defensiveness to stress. We get to feel them all. It's part of, my cat lives a black and white life, like the old Westerns. We get to live full color, full lives because we have emotions. And because you love that niece, you were sad that she was going across country. If you didn't give a flying flip, you wouldn't have cried.
Right.
And but then you also wouldn't know the experience of her love.
Yeah. That's why I told her, I said, I'm so happy for her, but sad for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll make trips up there.
I suspect you know how to feel more emotions than you think you do. Because you just use happy and sad in the same sentence.
Thing.
Right. What are you feeling right now?
Nervous.
Nervous. Tell me what nervous feels like.
Like in a ball here.
Tell me what nervous feels like in your body.
It's like butterflies
Lousy.
in my stomach. Yeah.
In your stomach.
Hot. I'm hot.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be it's
Okay.
109 degrees outside today too, but
Well, yeah, there is that. But yeah, you can have temperature changes when you're. I feel cold when I'm anxious. Isn't that interesting? But I flush when I'm nervous or on stage or something. Boy, do I flush! I mean, it's part of how I am. So, I think your homework and anyone else who thinks that they don't feel emotions is to pull out. Do you know the feelings wheel?
I've seen it. I'd have to find it
Just go
again.
to the website and in the search, put feelings wheel and it'll come up.
Okay.
Pull that out and kind of make a check mark or highlight each of the emotions that you know how to feel, like happy, sad, nervous. Okay. And then think about where does this feeling show up in my body? Because the reason we look at where it shows up in your body is because if all it is, if all nervous is a little bit of queasiness in your stomach and a hot flash, it's not that bad, right? It's just part of life. It's part of what we do.
Okay, I mean, I even realized last week I was at dinner with two friends, and they were talking about the stress in life. I said, I am so stressed. And then I looked at it and I said, you know what? Take that back. I have almost zero stress in my life. I'm retired. The house is paid for. Happy marriage. I can do what I want. I don't have stress in my life, but I was, and it was like almost like this weight was lifted off me when I just announced to myself, I'm not stressed. I don't have stress. Why have I been telling myself I'm stressed out? Because I have nothing to be stressed about.
So when you felt the stress leave your body, what was the new emotion?
Relief, I guess.
All right. Look at you. You got a bigger emotional vocabulary than you thought you did.
I guess so.
So pull out the feelings wheel
Okay.
and think about how relief feels in your body. Relief, when I think about relief, my shoulders automatically go down, right? My breathing gets nice and level, a little bit deep. I'm sitting straight up in my chair right now, even though I'm a little bit low in the screen, but I'm sitting straight up in my chair. My body wants to do this. It just wants to relax, right? When I feel relief, the tone of my voice goes down. Did you notice that? You can tell in my voice whether I am energized or relieved or stressed a lot of times. Okay, so start thinking about, what is the name of this emotion? And how does it feel in my body? And is that all that is? Maybe that's okay. Okay.
I'll put it. Okay. Thank you.
You feel like we took care of it?
Yeah, I got to pay attention more to my, because I, like you said, I am feeling them. I got to sit back and try to name it.
Yeah. Naming it, so if you ever have trouble naming it, this is when you go to ask coaches, okay? And you say, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what's going on around me. And this is how my body's tense or my body's loose or I've got a sick stomach or something. Help me figure out which emotion this is. And then the coach will come back and say, well, it could be this one, or it could be this one, or it could be this one, which sounds right to you. Okay. All right.
Good.
You got anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Thanks for raising your hand. You're still the only one.
Oh. Come on, people.
Yeah, come on, people. You get me once a month. Let's do this. You take care, Anne. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I
All
see.
right. Bye. Okay. Isn't it fascinating to think about the name of the emotion and how it feels in your body? We did a lot of this work in my group, my two groups, actually, the Calm & Confident groups, where we would actually think about how the emotion felt in the body to create safety around it. Because once you realize, even anxious, that it's just a feeling in your body that either your brain has picked up on through thinking, or you have sensed that something is going around you. Anxious is easier to tolerate when you're able to kind of mesh it with how it feels in your body and create some safety around it. So the person I was talking to in Facebook, Mary, hang tight. I'll get right to you. The person I was talking to in Facebook, I was talking about anxiety too. And she was trying to figure out why she was anxious. Y'all, sometimes our nervous systems scan for us and decide that there is a threat out there that we haven't even thought of yet. Some days, y'all ever woken up anxious? Sometimes it's a blip that just happens, and you think, huh, I feel anxious and I really don't know why. So you breathe through it, you calm yourself, settle yourself down, lower your shoulders, release your tension, and move about your day. But there's some work you can do to figure out where the anxiety comes from, or you can just accept that sometimes anxiety is there. Mary, I am ready for you. Let's do this. Here she comes. Get you unmuted. Yep.
Okay, and then let me see
Turn your camera
here. I've
on.
turned my camera on. I've got two computers in front of me, and I keep trying to use the wrong mouse.
Girl, I'm gonna need you to use the right
There, yep, well,
computer.
that came and then went. There
There
we
you
go.
are.
Okay, all right.
Hi.
Set that down so I don't have a can a chandelier of my head.
It looks like a
So.
halo.
I have kind of more of a question more than coaching, I think.
Okay.
I've had a situation a couple of times where I have like a couple of days in a row where I am just like ragingly angry about things. Like I know, intellectually that my response is way out of line with, the situation. Like I'm just crazy angry about something, which if I look at it intellectually, there's no reason to be that angry about it. And, my knee jerk is, oh, I should get some kind of sugar. And I was going, no, I really shouldn't. Eating's not going to fix it. But I'll have like a couple of days in a row where it's like that. And if I finally go, and I will get sugar and I will go like crazy on the sugar, just like that day. And that emotion settles back out and that swing settles back out. And I get back to like normal levels of emotion. And I don't know if that's like, I am menopausal. I mean, I haven't had, my last period was 4 years ago. So it's like, if I didn't know better, I'd think I was, PMSing, and maybe I still am. But so you're going, okay, I know food shouldn't fix this, and yet somehow it feels like it does. And does that make any sense?
It does. It does. You're talking, girl, this is talking my language. Okay. So these times when you're really angry, can you give me an example of what's happening around you when you get angry?
It's usually something work related,
Okay.
where either somebody has changed something or somebody has done something that, I don't like it. It's making my life more difficult. They didn't do what I asked to be done, and and said, "Oh, I'm done." It's like a, no, and I just, some of it can be just little stuff, and I'm just getting really angry about it. It's like I'm going, are, good thing that I'm not in an office with somebody, that I work from home, because I'm going, are you stupid? It's like I know they're not, and I would never say that to them to their face, but boy, do I rage at my computer. And today I just got so angry about something. I'm like, I had to leave the house. I finally, like, this has been 2 days. And today I finally, I'm like, I gave in and went and got some ice cream and ate an entire pint of ice cream. And then I was calm enough to respond to the client without being ugly,
This is classic nervous system work. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. In fact, I'm gonna grab my board.
Okay.
Have you ever seen me teach the nervous system ladder?
I have not. I
Okay.
think, well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit, because, yeah, you had the baseline and you're up or down.
Yep.
But it's
To me, it's just so strange because usually I'm pretty even keel, and then I get these periods where it's just like way swung out of line, usually angry.
I'm going to explain it to you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. For all those in the back who haven't seen this yet, home base is right at the center of the ladder. This is where we feel our best. We're calm, we're settled, we're grounded. All those, we're controlled. Okay. We're balanced. This is where we feel our best. Okay. Now, things at work start to happen to Mary. Somebody makes a change, somebody else doesn't do their job. The energy in her body starts to increase a little bit, right? Start to get a little tense, start to get a little stressed. She starts climbing up the ladder. Okay? Then the last thing happens and she says, "Oh my gosh, what else?" And she's up here above home base. All right? When you are up here above home base, you can experience what's called a fight response.
Okay.
Okay? Now, some of us want to fight back. We get angry. We're way up here. All these things have happened. I'm sick of this. Y'all are stupid. Whatever it was you were saying, right?
Yes.
Some of us go to a fight response. I'm not one that goes to a fight response unless I'm with my husband. For some reason, I feel safe fighting him. But if something's happened here on an OBS team, I'm not in a fight response. I'm not fighting because, I don't want to get fired.
My other would be shut down response.
Okay. Also up here is flight. Okay? You run away, you want to hide, you disappear, you like want to cower in, right? And these are all very primal responses if you think about it. If you think about the old cavemen days, they come out of the cave, they're met with a puma, what are they going to do? They're either going to bash it over the head with their club or they're going to run like heck to get out of the way, right? So when the energy is real high and the emotion is real high, you're going to fight or you're going to fly. Flight. Fight or flight. Okay? Also, when you get way up here, your body and your nervous system are like, something is really wrong. We've got to fix this because we like being at home base. And the way it likes to fix it, the way we've taught it over all these years on how to manage our emotions, is to eat. So, of course, you get urges for sugar. Of course, you get urges for ice cream. Of course, you get urges to run out of the house, to leave the house. Very, very common when you're above home base. Make sense?
But what I find really interesting for me, at least my experience, like today, it's like, I ate lunch. It didn't do the trick. I was still
No,
mad.
because you were still right. You were still dysregulated. You still weren't back at home base, right?
So so I guess maybe I'll have to retrain my brain that the sugar's not going to fix it,
Well,
even though it feels like it does.
and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to tell you it does because it's the rhythmic chewing and swallowing that actually calms your nervous system and helps dissipate some of that energy and bring you back down toward home base. Okay. It just has unintended consequences. Like it keeps us from losing weight. And what we're doing is we are feeding ourselves to regulate, and we're not really managing the emotion. We're not really feeling the emotion and managing it and figuring out the solve for it to come back down to home base. So to me, what I like to teach people is more, if your body is upset and your nervous system is upset, we need to treat the body, not the stomach. Right? So we want a more somatic approach. And somatic means in the body. So the fact that you said you had to leave the house, right? You had all this
And it just,
energy.
going outside with the dog didn't do it. I had to like really just get away.
There was too much energy. Going outside to feed the dog didn't bring
That's
the
what,
energy down enough. Now, if you'd run to the mailbox and back a couple of times, your energy probably would have come down a little bit more. Or if you had spent some time like really like blowing out a lot of air, like breathe in and go, you ever do that when you're frustrated? You go,
Yeah, I do that
Body's
sometimes.
natural response to the frustration to get some of that energy out, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So when you're way above home base, you've got to find a way to regulate, to burn energy. Okay. And some people will clean house. Some people will take a brisk walk. Some people will breathe out that energy. That's the kind of thing you can do when you're above home base to kind of start bringing yourself back down into home base because you have a lot of extra energy when you're up here.
It just out of curiosity, I don't know if you would know this, but I mean, is there like a hormonal something that could make you have a higher tendency to change state more quickly?
For
So
sure.
even if you're not, even if you're long past having periods.
Yeah, I believe there is. I haven't studied this as much, but I
Okay.
will tell you, Mel Robbins did a podcast. I bet I have given out this podcast link 3 times today on May 28th, and I'll put the link in the chat for you guys. Where's the link? The podcast, so it's the Mel Robbins podcast, and it is called, I got to get the chat out of the way. The Ultimate Guide to Women's Hormones. I hate this. It says use science to reset, and I believe it's reset your hormone balance or something like that. The date on it is May 28th of this year.
Okay.
Episode 293. So I've told y'all everything I know about this podcast. I finished listening to it last night and I was fascinated by what happens to women's physiologies as their hormones decrease and as they go into menopause, because that's what a lot of this is about. It's an interview with a gynecologist who specializes in menopause. And she talks about how when your estrogen, testosterone, progesterone all drop, your anxiety can increase. Other things can happen in your body. So yes, I do believe, based on listening to this podcast and some of the other work that I've done, that there can be a link, certainly, to menopause, to like a easier to be emotional.
Yeah, that's good to know that I just have to be alert for that because it's just weird because it'll go for like a couple of days in a row where it's just like my emotions just swing way hard. And I
Yeah.
can bring it back down to home base, but then something else will happen and wham, it'll go back up like that.
Yeah. So you might just notice that and know that about yourself.
Okay.
I will say, how do you sleep at night? Do you sleep well?
I would say pretty well. I've been trying to get at least the 7 hours, and
Okay.
I mostly look for like how much did I get some good deep sleep, and I'm usually getting close to about an hour of deep,
Okay.
so I feel like I'm sleeping pretty well.
I feel like sleep and rest go hand in hand with hormone regulation as well. Not hor I'm sorry, emotional regulation as well.
Yeah. If I'm tired, I know my emotions. I mean, like I get. Yeah, I'll cry at the drop of a hat on TV, something on TV, if I'm tired.
And the other thing is, remember to rest during the day. Your brain, if you're working your brain really hard, it can only manage so long. You know, till you need to get up and, you know, just take a breather or walk the house or go outside and check the mail or something like that. You'll come back to your desk feeling better and more productive than if you tried to push through.
Yeah,
Okay.
I try and usually get up and take the dogs out when I feel like I need a break.
Yeah, for sure. So, did this help talking
Yes,
about
it
fight and
did.
flight?
Yes, thank you. I
Yeah.
appreciate it.
Yeah, and listen to that podcast. There's somebody in the chat said they also listened to it, watched it, and learned so much. It was fascinating. It was really fascinating.
Yeah, I definitely am. I have to go find that and listen to it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else?
Oh, no, I think that was it. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Let's see here. All right, Heather is here. Let's get Heather called up. Males Let Them is excellent too. Man, her podcast is good. I was listening to another one that she did about the physiology of exercise for women. And man, she got some good stuff going on. She also did one if you're a person who is interested in or questioning some of the science behind weight loss medication, she's got one on that too. She's got good stuff going on. Heather, I need you to unmute and turn your video on. Yes, her stuff is really good. I need to put her more on repeat for sure. Heather, are you coming? Let's do this while you get your. Oh, okay, she's unmuted.
All
There
right,
you
there we
are.
go.
Awesome. Hi.
Hi. I had talked to you on Facebook.
I'm so glad you raised your hand.
Yeah.
She's my girl. She's who I was talking to.
So, my issue is, and I've had it forever since I can remember. My body doesn't know how to, I don't know how to relax. It's always anxious. Constantly reminding myself to lower my shoulders, try to relax. And it seems to run in a cycle because last year I didn't have to deal with this too much. But starting in February of this year, it like builds and builds and builds. And then I have like a panic attack and I feel great for like a week. And then it slowly builds and builds and builds again.
Okay. First question is, have you talked to your doctor about it?
I had gone to my gynecologist actually the day after I had a panic attack. So he's the only one I actually kind of talked to about it. And he said, if you look at your panic attack as your body's having one good cleansing cry and you feel great afterwards, don't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, I do, but it doesn't stop the building of it back up again.
So I can teach you some somatic things to help you relax. But if you're having to repeat this cycle more often than not, you should probably talk to somebody about some anxiety meds.
Okay.
There's just
My PCP did put me on. I think it's Ativan to help me sleep, and it's like a 0.5. It's a very like low dose that I'm just supposed to use whenever I feel like I'm not getting a hold. And I did start that yesterday. And I want to say I usually do like 3 or 4 days where everything like calms down a bit and it delays it a little bit. But I was when I go to see him this year, I was going to ask about something that's like a little more steady.
Yeah, I so I am not one to say no to medications that are going to supplement what my body can't do for me. Okay, now I'm not on anxiety meds, but my son is, which is very interesting to me because he and I are very much alike, and I do experience anxiety quite a bit. That's why I've studied it because I'm very curious about it. Anxiety for me tends to live in the future. It's worry about things. Is that how you is that how yours works as well?
Yes, my brain is like constantly trying to find something internally. Something's wrong. My heart's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's not working. And everything's working fine. I have no pain. I mean, as far as I know, everything's working fine. So there's really no reason to keep scanning.
Yeah. So it's looking for problems, right?
Yes.
It's
Yes.
catastrophizing.
Yes.
Corinne would call that hypothetical hell, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm good at all that too. So what I have to do is two things. The first is I use my brain to remind myself that A, everything I know of is okay, and B, if it's not, I'm going to know and I'm going to take care of it. Okay? So when I had my breast cancer diagnosis, I need to get this out of the way. When I had my breast cancer diagnosis, I went super anxious. You know, because what if I have to have chemo? What if I have to have a mastectomy? What if I'm gone from work for all these months? You know, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to die? You know, all those things, right? And I would keep having to, what I finally settled me down was pulling out my pathology report and reading. It's this big. Here's the treatment plan. It's not that bad. We're going to be okay. You know, this kinds of stuff that my doctor had actually outlined for me. So every time my brain went into hypothetical hell, I would pull it back with what I knew, what the facts were in the present day. So when you're doing this medical body scan that you do, looking for all the problems, you can pull yourself back in and say, you know what? Last time I went to the doctor, my blood pressure was good. My blood work was good. I'm checking in every so often. I'm going to know if something goes wrong, whatever it is that you can bring back into the fact part of it, okay? If that happens over and over and over again, you probably need something to take. But if you find that that's settling, then you're doing okay. All right. The other thing that happens, so you can either quiet it with your brain, or you can quiet it, like I was talking to the other caller, somatically, with your
Breathing.
body. With a lot of times, I like to take people through a like a progressive relaxation exercise, where we start with the top of your head. And think all the way through your jaw and through your shoulders, and just release every bit of tension that we can find in the body. Okay. Do you want to practice that? You want to try that?
Sure.
Okay. All right, everybody. Anybody who wants to participate, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a body scan, and we're going to relax. So I want everybody's, you're sitting on the couch, feet on the floor, feet flat on the floor. Okay. Sitting down. Hands out in front of you, palms up. You know why palms up? It's a receiving gesture. Okay. Now I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about your jaw. If there's tension in your jaw, I want you to release it. Kind of let your mouth hang open a little bit. Pull your tongue off the roof of your mouth. Then move down to your neck and your shoulders. Release any tension, any muscles that are working in your neck and your shoulders. Okay, so drop your shoulders, release the tension, maybe even drop your head a little bit. Now move down your arms. If there are any muscles working in your arms, I want you to relax them. Same thing in your hands. If there are any muscles working, just relax them. Take a deep breath in and out. Probably should have started with that. Okay. Now let's move back up your arms to your core, that central part of your body. I want you to slouch. I want you to release, stop sitting up straight. Release all that tension in your core. Kind of slouch in your chair a little bit. Think about where your shoulders are. Did they raise up, lower them back down? And then move down to your pelvic floor. A lot of us will clench, hold tension in our pelvic floor. It's like Kegels, the old Kegel exercises. So if you've got tension there, release that too. Maybe take another deep breath. Move down into your legs. Let your knees fall apart. Release any muscles that are working in your thighs and through your calves and into your feet. Then work your way back up your body and see if anything else tensed up, like your shoulders and your neck, your jaw. Take another deep breath, and you can open your eyes. Now, how do you feel?
Good. Good. I just have to remember to do that like seven or eight, if not more times a day.
So my nervous system teacher always says, stress can't live in a relaxed body. So, if you are breathing, you are oxygenating your body. And if you are taking the time to really think about what muscles are working and releasing them from any tension, then you are releasing any stress that's in your body that may be contributing to the anxiety. What do you think about that?
It makes sense at the moment. Now, if I can recall and remember to do that,
instead of letting everything build, practice, practice.
So yeah, so here's the way to do that, okay? You can do it. You don't have to do the full scan. Now, I would do it every time you get in bed at night, I would do it. When you wake up in the morning, you might be able to do that as well. But through the day, what I want you to remember to do is drop your shoulders.
Lower the shoulders.
Okay? Drop your shoulders, release your jaw, maybe even slouch a little bit. Because just doing that will help. Okay? So I want everyone to know that that might have been a little woo, but it was also biological. Anxiety is biological as well. Any kind of stress in your body is a muscle tension, is part of how we are. Okay, so MJ told me once, she goes, I don't know about that stuff, Kathy. That's kind of woo. And now I hear her teaching it because she knows there's science behind it too. All right, so you have two tools now to manage your anxiety. You have a change in thinking and bringing it back into the present, telling yourself, there's no problem here to solve. Thank you, brain, for protecting me, because that's all it's doing, is trying to protect you, right? And then there's diving into your body and seeing what tension you can release to see if you can help your body feel better, which will also release the anxiety or reduce the anxiety. Does that sound doable?
Yes, it does.
Sometimes, just know that sometimes you're not going to know why you're anxious, and that's okay. Sometimes it's just there. I can sit downstairs in my pajamas with a hot cup of coffee in the morning, fresh out of bed, and feel my arms getting all prickly from anxiety and not know why. And I'll just look at Ken and I'll go, you know, I'm feeling a little anxious. He's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. Guess I'll just sit here and see if I can relax a little bit. And I tend to pull out my, I have an iPad downstairs. And there's a color by number app on it. I love that thing. It's very creative. It's very soothing. Anything creative like that or music oriented may also help your anxiety.
Okay.
You feel like
Yep.
you got some stuff to work with?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad you raised your hand. Okay. Take care.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye. I think some of the people in the chat like that too. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Christina, what you got? Robin says, I love meditation before falling asleep while I'm in bed. Lots of apps and podcasts for this. Yes, helps you. Meditation helps you focus your mind, so that it kind of gets it out of the space of trying to solve problems. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
What you got tonight?
So, excuse me, if I start coughing, it seems like when I start talking, I start coughing. So my daughter got married at the very beginning of June, and right before she got married, I thought I had a kidney stone, so I went in to have that checked out. They sent me for a T CT scan. Long story short, yesterday I had a bronchial scope because they found something in my lungs whenever they were looking at the kidneys, which were fine. But I'm not finding the, I feel like I'm very below home base. I'm not feeling my emotions. And I feel like I've just shut down. I'm not getting anything accomplished
Okay.
throughout the
What's
day.
so
And then,
tell me the facts of what's going on. You just told, is that everything you know?
no, they think it's a fungal infection. I have some lymph nodes around my heart and throughout my lungs that are very enlarged. Some not as bad as others. The ones around my heart are the worst. And they think it's a fungal infection. But that can take up to a month to come back from what they did yesterday. if they don't find something, I might have to have a different kind of bronchoscope. And there's like a list of like 5 or 6 things that it could be. And as you go down the list, it's less likely that it is. Cancer is at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. It sounds to me, your doctor sounds like mine. Mm-hmm. We think it might be this, so we're going to go this direction. And if we prove that wrong, we're going to try this. And if we prove that wrong, we're going to try this.
Yes.
Are you satisfied with that protocol?
Yeah, I'm very happy with my doctor and
good,
and with the approach we're taking.
Okay. So would you say you trust your doctor?
Yes.
All right. So there's thought number one that you can bring in when you start to have fear or worry or stress or whatever you're feeling about it. Tell mm-hmm. me why you are below home base.
I'm really not sure 100%. I do tend to go through kind of this shutdown every summer. I'm a special ed teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So end of school, and I teach at the high school, so the end of the school year is always very hectic, and I'm sure grade school is the same way, but mm-hmm. just tons of paperwork when it comes to IEPs and getting things together for the end of the school year, plus they always want to start planning for the next school year also. Mm-hmm. Plus, at the end of this year, we were out 2 weeks, and then my daughter got married, so there was mm-hmm. that stress of getting everything together for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's part of it, is just that, okay, everything's done. Now I can relax.
You are so smart.
Thank you.
Very often. Yeah. And I bet this happens to you too. When you're at school, you're probably not at home base. You're probably a little bit above home base.
Oh,
you
definitely.
Don't feel unsafe, but there's extra energy that you've got to put into everything that you do, right?
Yes.
I feel like this at work. I don't feel like I'm unsafe, but I'm a little bit above home base in what they call performance mode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a nervous system state called performance mode that mm-hmm. combines a little bit of above home base with safety. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when performance mode is no longer needed, the adrenaline and the cortisol that's built up that's kept me up there just tanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So I fall through home base to a little bit below home base in what they call, I want to make sure I get the word right, stillness or rest mode.
Mm-hmm.
Still feeling safe, but lower energy, a little bit below home base. Could that be where you are?
Yeah.
And you add in a little bit of a potential fungal infection to that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that your body is just riding right there right now because you have expended all this energy for so long. And it's riding a little bit below so that you feel better, so that it has time to repair.
Okay.
Could that be possible?
Very possible, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me. I do that on the daily when I'm working. I'll go downstairs and like heat up dinner. We have heat up tonight since it's a little bit later. And I'll sit in my chair and I'll pull out my iPad, and poor old Ken will not get a bit of conversation other than he'll ask me, what do you want to watch on TV? And I'll say, I don't care. Because I'm riding a little bit below home base. Not like super dysregulated below home base, but just a little bit below, a little bit lower energy, while my body repairs from all the extra energy I had in it through the day at work.
Mm-hmm.
So you combine that with managing something going on with your health right now, and it doesn't surprise me. Just make sure you're caring for yourself. You don't have to bring yourself back up into home base. Just make sure you still feel like, you know, you still have that underlying controlled, safe, settled feeling. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, anything else?
Nope, that's all I really had. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Feel better. Okay.
Thank you.
I hope you get it figured out quickly.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll be thinking about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we got one question. Let's see what we have here. I have metastatic breast cancer, and tomorrow is my follow-up CT scans of chest, abdomen, and pelvis, as well as MRI of my brain. I'm in such a state of anxiety and need to be able to talk myself off the ledge. Tips on stopping panic? I'm so afraid the mass will be back in my chest or spine, fighting tears all day. I'm in the car with family, so can't raise my hand. Tracy, I'm so glad. I'm glad, actually glad to hear from you. I know exactly who you are, girl. The anxiety comes from the anticipation of the tests, right? It comes from you being concerned about what you might find. So, what you have to do, as I talked about before, is I need you to pull that back into what you know today. How have you cared for yourself? Do you trust your care team? What are, you know, if your brain goes into hypothetical hell and you start asking yourself all these what if questions, answer them. Okay, so you said, one of the concerns, I'm so afraid the mass will be back in chest or spine. If it is, what will you do? You'll talk to your care team. You'll set out a treatment plan. I'm betting you'll actually execute the treatment plan. So what can you control? What do you know? And how will you respond? Okay. Those are the three best questions you can ask yourself when you're dealing with anxiety, especially when it comes with a health scare or with a health situation. Okay. I hope that helps, Tracy. If it doesn't, or if you've left the call, and you're catching this on the replay, let me know how you are. Okay. And I'm happy to talk to you and ask coaches or an email support or whatever it is that you need. Okay. Can I repeat the three questions? Gosh, I hope so. Oh, Tracy says, thank you. Good. What can I control? What do I know right now? And what will my plan be? I think is the very close to the three that I said. Yeah, Robin says, don't go Googling stuff. Yeah, Google's not your friend. You know, when I had my breast cancer diagnosis, and you probably know this, Tracy, Robin, I think you, some of the others that have had a breast cancer diagnosis, they told me, they said, stay off the Googles. Please stay off the Googles. If you want a reliable place to check information, go to Komen.org, Komen, SusanBComen.org, or cancer.org. Those are the two websites that will give you the most accurate information. So, all right. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody have anything else for tonight? Anybody else? Thank you so much for being here. I hope you found this helpful. You're welcome, Lori. I'm glad you were able to catch it too. If you need me, ask how you find me and ask coaches. You can find me in the Facebook group. You can find me in support emails. I have openings in private client world. Anything I can do to help you manage what's going on in your nervous system with your feelings so that you can lose weight, girl, I am all in. I am all in. This is why I do this work, because I think it's so, so important that we take care of ourselves, take care of our bodies, so that we can live these full color lives filled with emotions and love and care for ourselves. Okay? All right. You all have an amazing evening, and let me know how I can be there for you, okay? Take care.